He's here for. So, all right, before Pastor Carl comes and opens the service with announcements and everything, I would like to give one announcement. If we have a family in our church that has some needs as far as Christmas gifts for their children, and if you would like to help contribute with that, if you could see if you could see me after the service, and I'll put you in contact with the people that can provide some help with that. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, then to just see me, okay? Where is Pastor Carl? I saw him walk in. Come on, brother.
Good morning, good morning.
Set this right here for now.
Okay. How's everybody doing this weekend? Yes, good, good, good. I got a chance to meet a lot of new faces today, and I'm getting a refresher course and some other names, so thank you for being patient for those whose names I can't remember, okay? And help me out when I greet you and I ask you, could you remind me your name again? Everybody's been so gracious, so continue to extend that grace to me, please, okay? All right. Father God, as we start even with the announcements today, would you prepare our hearts for corporate worship together as we join as a family, adopted children in Christ. Open our hearts and prepare us for the message you're going to bring from Pastor Thaddeus, and we are excited about part two in the message we've been learning regarding Melchizedek, who we just learned last week. There's a good amount of evidence to point to him being pre-incarnate Christ. So God, thank you so much for the message you've been presenting in your word through your servant Thaddeus. Bless him today as he shares, and bless us as we hear. Amen. Okay, so going through announcements here, and I do want to move a little quickly because we've got a lot to cover. The Christmas Eve service, okay, it's going to be Monday, December 24th at 6 p.m. Okay, it says, come and celebrate the birth of our King. I think that's very appropriate. Christmas very often becomes about consuming, right, and enjoying gifts. But it's really important to remember the ultimate gift that was presented in the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life being extended to us, and him coming and taking on flesh, incredible humility displayed by our Lord. Gift for Christ offering, we'll be taking up a gift for Christ this year on the last two Sundays of the month, December 23rd and December 30th. The areas we are looking at are debit retirement, Game Changers, or other, and will be determined by the amount collected, okay? So just keep in mind that special offering, December 23rd and 30th, going towards that work for the Lord. Christmas cards. Everyone, welcome to stop by the sound room window to sign for our Pastor Thaddeus and Pastor me. What? You guys already? That's awesome. Thank you. Okay. Blessing bags, okay? Our children's church is currently collecting socks, toothbrushes, toothpaste, hand sanitizer, Band-Aids, shampoo, etc. for blessing boxes for those in need. We welcome your donations. If you have any questions, please see Sister Michelle Roberts, okay? Kalamazoo Gospel Mission Project, if you have gently used coats, gloves, hats, stuffed animals, or new coloring books, please consider donating them to the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission. Terry Waite and friends are serving dinner on Christmas Day at the mission and are hoping to collect enough gifts to pass out to families who are staying there this Christmas season. You will find a box located in the Welcome Center for your donations. If you have any questions, please see Terry Waite. and just be keeping those who are in need. I mean, as we're going through our own holiday seasons and are very often enjoying in abundance, my wife and I were actually just last night talking about and grieving over the growing problem of homelessness in our country, especially in LA and other major metropolitan areas. So just be keeping in mind, if nothing else, pray for people, believers even, who are homeless, okay? I know it's easy to forget that in our major supply of wealth. It's incredible. But praise the Lord for abundance in this country. Okay, LAC Wings of God Christmas dinner. Okay, it says thank you to all the ladies, the LAC ladies or church members who donated or had participated in Thursday evening's Christmas dinner at the Wings of God home. Not only was it a blessing to the house residents, but to the ladies of 12th Street Baptist Church as well. One of the most important announcements here, okay, men's basketball on, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Men's basketball, though, on Mondays, okay? We played last week, didn't we? It got real. People, real bad, right? There's a lot of missed shots. I threw Pastor Thaddeus to the ground by accident. And my life and my ministry flashed before my eyes. I was like, I just got here, Pastor, come on. Don't send me out. But the Lord displayed his love and grace through his servant Thaddeus. Okay, so I was mortified, by the way. I was like, I just can't believe this. Upward basketball. The end is near for early discount registration, which runs through December 15th. Final day for registration will be December 22nd. Thank you so much to the volunteers that came. Yeah, come on. That's right. That was awesome. Those kids and those parents come in looking so scared. It's crazy because registration, you don't know what's going on. You don't know where you're supposed to be or what you should do. And the smiling faces of our willing volunteers, that is so awesome. Thank you so much to everybody who came and gave it their time. That was very cool. Families were blessed, and we're going to have an awesome. Where's the numbers at right now with registration? 209 around that. So praise the Lord for the people he's bringing. That's already more than what we had for last year. So praise God, okay? All right. Wednesday night dinner, okay? Please remember to sign up if you will be attending Wednesday night dinner. This week's menu is pizza and dessert. All right. Church closing. On any Wednesday through the winter, if Kalamazoo Christian Schools are closed, we will not have Awana or Bible study and post it by 3 p.m. Sunday morning, we are open if you can safely travel. In the event of a large snowfall, we will post the closing on Channel 3 and on our Facebook page. Let's Paint, Teen Buddy Painting. Check out that information there, okay? Class will be December 26th, 27th, and 28th, okay? And Food Pantry, questions for that, okay? Krista or Lynn, so you want to talk about helping families that may be homeless or just in need, that's a great opportunity, okay? And then men's prayer breakfast on Tuesdays, 8:30 a.m. I know a lot of people have to work, but if you have time available, if you're off, are we going to be doing it? I know we're close to the holiday season. We're still doing it this upcoming Tuesday, so join us if you're able, okay? 9th Street McDonald's. All right. And I have a few just side announcements here, okay? Wanted to make it clear, last week I gave inaccurate information, misinformation. I'm so very sorry. And I told people that those who are interested in shoveling could come see me. If you want to volunteer to shovel, okay, I encourage you to get in contact with Brother Don Kilburn, who oversees that ministry, okay? And it's very important. It's really important because we're protecting the safety and well-being of our members, and I really appreciate that ministry. Greeter volunteers, okay? Thank you for everybody who came out, okay? Woot, woot. I know some people who came were interested in doing some shoveling. So for those, I'm still going to get in contact. I haven't called everybody, but this upcoming Sunday, we're going to try and start getting launched with that. So by the way, if someone comes up to you and they say, hey, I'm a part of the Connections team or the Greeter team, I just want to say, hey, how are you today? How long have you been here? Engage them, please, and answer their questions. Don't worry. It's not like some secret police type stuff, okay? They just want to know you and be a blessing to you, and they might ask you, hey, can I pray with you and for you? And we just want to start greeting you. And we're not talking about visitors only. We're talking about people who've been attending here as members for ages, right? Doesn't matter. We want you to feel welcome. We want to start fostering a culture of love among the brethren, okay? Awesome. Let's see here. Church office will be closed for New Year's Eve and day. And for Christmas Eve and day, okay? Just so you know, the church office will be closed for those holiday days. Let's see. We already gave the Christmas service reminder. Greeter volunteers. It sounds so unprofessional, I'm sorry. But we're family, so I'm just going to, you're hearing me do the list, okay? I just want to make sure I get everything. Good. Okay, one last thing, and then we'll be finished, okay? So we've concluded the Bible study on Crisis 101, okay? Thank you, Brother Paul Eggers, for leading that and facilitating that. I was only able to be a part of two studies, but it was awesome to be a part of those two studies and seeing how God uses crises, hard situations, to grow our faith so that he can be glorified in us as he works in us and through us for his purpose, okay? So one of the things I want to encourage you to do, now that we've ended our Bible study series, Wednesday nights around 6:30 we get started, is I would encourage you to really ask yourself, what am I doing Wednesday night? You might be busy, right? But please, come on out Wednesday nights, get to know some more of your church folk and your church family, okay? And be also aware that we're going to start our next series. Pastor Thaddeus is going to bring that up after the holiday, but we'll be starting that after the new year. But this week, he's going to be having a biblical question and answer, okay? I really encourage you to come out for that, 6 p.m. We're going to get started there around that time. Bring your questions about the Bible, okay? And I think that's a really important opportunity. Okay, good. And we closed our Bible study this past week talking about praise and worship, acknowledging God for who he is, and we do that with our very lives. And no doubt, we worship God in obedience, but also we worship him in song and praise. And I have to tell you, I come from a Plymouth Brethren background, and they're not all this way, but many of the churches are a little reserved, and some of the members, you might have a handful of people do some clapping or whatnot, and I just grew up, we were not very expressive, okay? But at the same time, I go to a basketball game or something like that, right? I like sports. Somebody score a goal, somebody throw down a thunderous dunk, and you're just like, yeah, you know what I mean? And I don't know about you guys, but last Sunday, I feel like I was at a basketball game. I'm not playing games. That is, and I were in the office, we were talking, I almost cried. I'm serious. It's been a long time. I don't know if I've ever been able to sit under preaching like that, apart from when I was with his father over in Valenia. Just, I've heard some good preaching, okay? Don't get me wrong. But that man was excited about the word, and he was bringing it, okay? But you know what I was sitting there doing? Amen. Praise God. Don't want to be a distraction. I mean, I was like writhing in my seat. And I'll look at my wife. Did you hear that? And I want to look around at other people, but I was just like, oh, man. But I said, wait a second. Am I a pastor? Am I supposed to be shepherding and leading people? So I had to confess to you all, okay, in our study, we were talking about praise, and some words were brought up, and I just want to share some Hebrew words with you. I'm not a Hebrew scholar at all, okay? I'd never heard these words. One of them, yada. This is pretty cool. Yada literally refers to the shooting out or the extending of the hands in praise and worship. And we've looked at some Bible verses. Get with Pastor Thaddeus Stout or me. We'll get you some scripture. And we're not going to take it out of context about God's word that calls for us to lift up our hands. Even in prayer. Man, lift up holy hands in prayer. Everywhere. Man, I tell you what. I don't know about y'all. I mean, there's been some movements that have abused doctrine in scripture that have, I think, caused us to overcorrect. Amen? And now we're all rigid. But I just want to confess to you all, okay? There's a couple other things I would love to bring to you, but we got to get to the word because I'm ready for the next match, okay? I'm ready for the next game. And we're going to watch Pastor Thaddeus Stout. He's not going to perform, okay? He's going to do what God's called for him to do. He's going to work, okay? And he was shooting lights out last week. I don't know if you noticed that. And so this week I'm ready for him to throw up another 50-point game. Okay. And I want to confess to you that I'm coming out. And if you're distracted, I'm sorry, I got some words for you, and it's not mine, it's the word of God. And I'm going to be expressive this Sunday. And it's hard for me, too, but I just want to let you know. If you heard me say, woot, woot, amen, and I stand up, you don't feel like you have to do it, but can I just ask you, I invite you, join me today. Because if you're going to do it in a game when somebody's hitting a ball with a wooden stick, why not do that when someone comes up with the word of God speaking life into us, okay? Father God, thank you so much for your word. Man, I can't wait. Prepare the heart of Thaddeus as he brings it today. I'm excited. God, help us to remember that you're the focus of this, and we want to be this excited every time we come together. We want to be this excited every time we come to you privately and quietly and joyfully and loudly and in an undignified way even. And there were scoffers even when David rejoiced at the ark entering the city. But God, we don't want to mind the haters. We want to be reminded of who you are, and we want to acknowledge that in whatever way. And so, Lord, help us to be genuine. And that's all we want. We want to be genuine, and we want to be faithful. Thank you for your mercy and your love and your grace, and help us to extend it to each other as you supply. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is a greeting that I'm supposed to give you. Greet each other, and I want you all to ask each other seriously. Are you gonna celebrate today? When we hear the word of God, there we go. So ask each other. Look to your neighbor and say, "Are you gonna celebrate today?" And it better be yes. Stand up, greet your neighbor. Are you gonna celebrate today?
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open up with unspeakable joy. And heaven and nature sing. to the world the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Joy, unspeakable joy, rises in my soul, never lets me go. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the day. And wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Joy, unspeakable joy. Christ. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and Spirit out on him, Lord. We just pray that our hearts are ready to receive what you have for us. us. Father, we just pray again that you just forgive us where we failed you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we just thank you for bringing us here to not only praise your name, but to worship your name. And Lord, we just ask you to bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, choir. Boy, I hope that's why you're here today. It's to worship Jesus, okay? He's what all of this is about. At this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And as the children head out to Children's Church, this past week, we experienced, one of our members of our church experienced a loss this week. Beverly Terrell, her husband passed away this week. And for those of you who know Beverly and her family, if you could be praying for them. And on Wednesday, we will have a funeral dinner here at the church. And with that funeral dinner, if you would like to help contribute to that, Lynn would sure appreciate the help. Correct, Lynn? But Cheryl also is the one who is going to help keep that together. So if you could just volunteer to help with the dinner, that would be wonderful, as this was an unexpected thing to take place for Beverly and her family. Let's take our Bibles, and I got a million places we're going this morning. So you turn to Hebrews 7, okay? Hebrews 7. As you're turning there, a Jewish businessman in Chicago sent his son to Israel for a year to absorb the culture. When the son returned, he said, "Papa, I had a great time in Israel. And by the way, I converted to Christianity." "Oy vey," said the father, "what have I done?" He took his problem to his best friend, Ike. And he said, "I sent my son to Israel, and he came home a Christian. What can I do?" "Funny you should ask," said Ike. "I too sent my son to Israel, and he also came home a Christian. Perhaps we should go see the rabbi." So they did. They explained their problem to the rabbi. "Funny you should ask," said the rabbi. "I too sent my son to Israel, and he also came home a Christian. What is happening to our young people?" And so they all prayed together, telling the Lord about their sons. And as they finished their prayer, a voice came from heaven. "Funny you should ask," said the booming voice. "I too sent my son to Israel." All right, John chapter 8, verse 56, if you want to turn there, you can with me. Jesus is having a conversation with the Jewish people who lived around him and near him, specifically with some scribes and Pharisees. And Jesus says to them in John chapter 8, verse 56, he says, "And your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and how have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." This is part two today from what we started last week. So let me give you a quick refresher on what we talked about last Sunday. Jesus, in this conversation with these Jews, he let them know that he had seen Abraham and talked to Abraham because Abraham rejoiced not just to have seen the coming of the Lord, but actually to have seen Jesus. And so then we looked at the time in history of when Abraham had seen Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In Psalm 110, verse 4 is that other place in Scripture where you read that. So Abraham had met this priest who was also a king named Melchizedek in the book of Genesis. And in this meeting that Abraham had with Melchizedek, we find out it was there that Jesus actually had met with Abraham in the form as the person of Melchizedek. So read with me in Hebrews 7. That's where I asked you to turn in your Bibles originally. Hebrews 7 and verse 1. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings." And if you weren't here last week and you don't know what the slaughter of the kings is, you'll have to listen to the message online, okay? "And blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation King of Righteousness, and after that also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. Now consider how great a man this was, that unto even whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the spoils. So we see here that there is this Melchizedek who met with Abraham. Melchizedek had no beginning of days, no end of days. Even angels have a beginning of days, right? They're all created beings. But this Melchizedek had no beginning of days, no end of days. He had no descent. He had no lineage. So, this is God, Melchizedek. This is God. And he says he has no descent. When we talk about Jesus, we talk about Jesus in terms of the Son, right? God the Father, God the Son. Why does he have no descent then if he is the Son? Because he hasn't become the Son yet. He's part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity. We sang about that, holy, holy, holy. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. He's part of the Trinity. But he does not become Son in descent until he's born through Mary. Now, here's a really cool thing about the birth of Jesus. I'm not going to bore you with his genealogy, although I think his genealogy is spectacular. I could spend all day telling you stories through his genealogy because it's just incredible. One of the things we find through his genealogy is in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, it tells us that Mary's cousin Elizabeth, her husband is the priest. And Mary's cousin Elizabeth, it says there that she is in the order of Aaron, which means that she has Levitical blood in her. Now, if she's a cousin to Mary, what does that say about Mary? She has Levitical blood in her too. But Mary also has royal blood, because in the book of Luke, it'll take us through her genealogy and it'll show us that her genealogy goes all the way back to King David. How can that be? Well, her mom married her dad married a Levite. And so she had from her father royal blood, from her mother priestly blood. That's pretty cool. Because Jesus is not just a king, he is also a priest. But he's not a priest after the order of Levi. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So let's go with point number one is Jesus is Melchizedek. He is the pre-incarnate form of the Son before there was a Son, because Melchizedek had no descent. He was just the form of Jesus coming to this earth to meet with Abraham. He was the first order of priests. Abraham, there are several generations from Abraham to Moses. And there's no order of a priesthood that the Bible talks about in any way other than this order of Melchizedek. So what would a priesthood have been for if there wasn't anywhere to go to have animal sacrifice or to have religious practice accomplished? Well, here's what the order of the priesthood through Melchizedek was. It was the priesthood through which Jesus eventually will offer himself as the sacrifice for sins, because he is Melchizedek. It's his own priesthood that the ultimate offering for our sins would be made. And I believe, and we'll look at it in just a minute why I believe this, I believe that Jesus taught this to Abraham in the form of Melchizedek when they got together. And that Abraham understood the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's keep going with our outline here. Okay, before there were commandments of law and sacrifice, Jesus was the priest. He's always been the priest. When Abraham saw him, he realized Jesus' preeminence as the priest, and so he offers to him a tenth of all he has. So he didn't just see him as a priest, he also saw him as a king. All right, which, that's a dizzying thought that hopefully when we're done, you'll get it, okay? In Revelation, or in Hebrews 7:9, it says this, "And as I may say so, Levi also received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham." So in the priestly law, the one where you have descendants of a man named Aaron, okay, who Aaron was a descendant of Levi, and you have this priestly line, the men that are born in that order are priests who are supposed to serve in the temple and offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. They also collected tithes. When they collected tithes, they didn't do it in their own, like, do it for Levi. They collected tithes after the likeness or after the way that Abraham did it, before there was ever a law. So even the priests of Levi understood the importance of a greater priesthood. And that priesthood is the priesthood that Abraham saw when he met Jesus. So I just want you to understand something. When you write a check or you give cash or you give a tithe to the church, you are not giving it to 12th Street Baptist Church. You're giving it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're doing it after the likeness of Abraham. And they are for the Lord Jesus, not for us. Now, here's something interesting about Jesus. He is the first and only king priest. The king and the priesthood were separate offices that God did not want mixed by man. Kings that went in and offered sacrifice, God struck them with leprosy or killed them. God did not accept kings offering sacrifice. That was not their job. That was the priest's job. Jesus is not after the order of Levi as a priest. He has a greater order that he's part of, and that's Melchizedek. Now, when we read about Melchizedek, it lets us know that he is a priest and what else? A king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of peace. This is how Jesus came to the earth. He came as the king of righteousness. He came as the king of peace. And he finished his work on the cross through his sacrifice as priest. And he put an end to the kingship and the priesthood being separate. He did something amazing when he finished his work on the cross and when he rose again from the dead. He put an end to that being separate. So, number two in your bulletin, Jesus has always been God. He's always been God. He didn't start being God at some point. He has just always been God. Anybody here, when you try to think about that, you just kind of get a headache? It's kind of like, whoa. Jesus has always been God. How could he show up in the Old Testament before he was ever born? Because he's always been. And the reason we're studying these things about Jesus showing up in the Old Testament is because we need to understand the eternal nature of God the Son. He has always been equal part God. He has never been any lesser. And when he came to earth, he chose to take on a different form. So I'm going to try not to preach next Sunday's message, because next Sunday's message is, what's the difference between the pre-incarnate Jesus in his body and the Jesus who was born of a virgin? What's the difference? And when you figure that out, you understand what Christ coming to earth, or we use the name Christmas, is all about. When you understand the difference, how he came before he was born, the pre-incarnate, and then after he was born of the Virgin, when you understand that, oh my goodness, it's like life-altering. Okay, but I'm not gonna, that's next week. You have to come back. Jesus is God. He's always been. He is God. He made the offering of peace for our sins. Melchizedek was the king of peace, right? Jesus, Isaiah 9:6, says, "For unto you a son is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He made the offering of peace for our sins. In Revelation 13:8, this helps us understand the eternal nature of Jesus, because in offering that sacrifice, that didn't make him the Prince of Peace. He was already the Prince of Peace. It didn't make him the King of Peace, the one who offers a sacrifice. In Revelation 13:8, it tells us that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In 1 Peter 1:20, it's talking about Jesus and his blood sacrifice for our sins, and it says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So before the world was even spinning, before God put it on an axis and spun it like a basketball on the finger, Jesus was ordained to die for our sins. He was already the peace offering. He hasn't appeared to anybody in the Old Testament yet, because there was nobody to appear to. He hasn't been born through a virgin birth to Mary. And he's already the peace offering for our sins. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Here's why there is a priesthood that existed before the law of Moses. Because when Adam and Eve were put in the garden, God knew exactly what would happen, because God never learns any new information. Whew. All right, did you get that? Because if God ever learned any piece of new information, he would cease to be God immediately. Because God is omniscient. He knows everything. And because he knew everything, he knew, putting Adam and Eve in the garden and giving them a choice, he gave them one stinking rule: don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One rule. And they couldn't keep it. And before any of us passed judgment on them, we would have done the same thing. Okay? We would have done the same thing. And so when Adam, after he sees Eve take it, she was deceived, and he voluntarily took it, I think what's running through his mind is he's like, if she's gone, I don't want to be here either. If she's dying, I'm going too. And he takes a bite. Their eyes are opened. They realize they're naked. They hide from God. See, before all that happened, God knew what would happen. And so Jesus was already part of the Godhead, was already to come to earth and be the offering for peace for our sin. Letter C in your bulletin: the gospel has always been our salvation. So Adam and Eve, they sin. God kills an animal and he gives them the skins of the animal to clothe themselves. But you know what he also instituted that day? He instituted blood sacrifice for sin. So then when the sons, Cain and Abel, when they offer a sacrifice, Cain makes a sacrifice of fruits and vegetables. Abel makes an offering of blood sacrifice. God accepts Abel's sacrifice. He denies Cain's. Why? Because sacrifice was to be done God's way. He had established an order of priesthood. And that priesthood would accomplish sacrifice through blood. And how did he establish this order of priesthood? Jesus taught to Adam and Eve, here's how you do it. And they passed it down to their children and their children and their children. The gospel has always been our salvation, because when they took and slit the throat of the animal and they caught the blood in a basin and they offered the meat on the altar as a sacrifice, a big barbecue, they also would take and sprinkle blood. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for our sin. And this was his plan. This is what he established it with the very first people. And has carried it out ever since. And why did they do this blood sacrifice? Because it was a picture that someday Jesus would come and offer himself as the sacrifice for our sins. Every animal that was offered in sacrifice was just a picture of the real sacrifice that was to come. They did those sacrifices because they were showing their faith in the real sacrifice. Even though he was a long time away from coming, every sacrifice they offered was a sign of their faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Turn to Galatians 3. This is how Melchizedek, Jesus, teaches Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, wait a minute. Let's think real quick. Melchizedek is the king of peace, but he's also the king of righteousness. He's the king of righteousness, and he's the king of peace. He's Jesus come before the New Testament. And as Jesus came, he taught Abraham. Abraham believed, and it was his righteousness. His actions weren't his righteousness. It wasn't his own doing that made him righteous. He was righteous because he believed in the sacrifice of the coming Messiah. Verse 7 in Galatians 3. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Anybody here ever sing the song, Father Abraham had many sons had father. Anybody ever sing that? Okay, four of you. The rest of you, man, you got to learn some of the stuff. All right. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot. Nod your head, turn around. Okay. Now I just totally forgot what I was going to say because I'm into the song. I'm ready to sing it. I'm ready to dance with it. Woo! So, I really just totally forgot what I was saying. I mean, we are the children of Abraham, not through descent. It wasn't. The key isn't be a child of Abraham by being an Israelite. The key is be a child of Abraham by sharing the faith that Abraham had. Verse 8, in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. All right, I'm going to read that verse again. And when you hear the word heathen, you have to raise your hand and say, that's me. All right? No, we got to understand this. Because if he didn't justify the heathen, if he only justified the descendants of Abraham through natural birth, then most of us, maybe all of us in this room, we're left out. So I'm going to read that again. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's me. That's me. But he justified me. How did he do it? Through faith. This is awesome. He justified the heathen through faith. He preached before the gospel, the good news to Abraham. How did he do that? He went to Abraham and he said, hey, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And then Abraham waited 40 years and he's like, I haven't had a son. So he and his wife, Sarah, they think of an alternate plan, and he has a child with Hagar, the handmaid of Sarah, and he thinks this is the son of promise, and God's like, no, that's not the son of promise. You will have a son. So then he waits 14 more years, and then at the age of 99, Sarah finally conceives. She's 90, Abraham's 99. And God says that this child will have more children and more, and there will be a great nation singular. And through that nation, all the world will be blessed because a Messiah was the promise. Here's the gospel. A descendant of Abraham would come to this earth, live, die, and in his death offer a sacrifice and rise again from the dead. That's the gospel. But then, he doesn't stop there. He says, Abraham, in you will all the nations, plural, be blessed. That's me and you. Let's read here Galatians 3, verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel, or preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying in you singular, Abraham, all nations be blessed. All nations, plural. How is all the world blessed through Abraham singular? Because he had a seed. And Jesus is that one. Verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I'll tell you what, all those blessings that were given to Abraham, they weren't meant for a race. They were meant for a faith. All those promises are to be experienced and enjoyed and gobbled up by those who share the faith of Abraham. And what do we have faith in? It's the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. So, letter D, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. And Jesus taught that to Abraham. Melchizedek, the priest, the one who understood sacrifice because he would be the sacrifice, he taught that to Abraham. Abraham believed it, and he was righteous. And today, if we believe it, we will be righteous too. All right, I got to skip some stuff. I got way too much stuff here. Go to Galatians 3:29. And if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Our theme for this year has been game changer. I cannot think of a greater game changer message than what Jesus preached to Abraham, which has been carried down from generation to generation through faith. And it reaches us today through faith that we share in the promises that were made to Abraham. We are heirs. That means that we are in line to inherit those blessings through faith. So our theme first for this year has been Revelation 1:6. It's on the signs. Some of you might have vision good enough to see it. I can't, so I'm going to read it from my Bible. Revelation 1:6 says, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus was after the kingly order of Melchizedek, because he is Melchizedek. He's after the priestly order of Melchizedek, because he is Melchizedek. He is the first king priest. But now, through what he did in his sacrifice, he makes us kings and priests. after his resurrection, he established a whole new order, a whole new way of doing things. That king and priest had always been separate, and now because he died, he was buried, and he rose again, and he fulfilled the law, he accomplished the work, the gospel is complete. Now he makes you and me king and priest. So what are we kings of? Righteousness. Not our righteousness. We're made kings through his righteousness. In 1 Peter 1, turn there, because this is just too good to just skip over here. While you're turning to 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. While you're turning there, I'm going to read to you again Hebrews 7, verse 2. It says that Melchizedek, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. All right, that's Jesus. That's his kingship. Righteousness and peace. So now in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation. We are a generation that's different than the generations who came before the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Okay? We are different from that. We are a chosen generation. We're different from them. And here's how. We are a royal priesthood. There's no such thing as a royal priesthood before this. The only royal priest was Jesus, king priest. But now you are a chosen generation because we come after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and we are a royal priesthood. What does that mean? I'm a king priest. A holy nation, a peculiar people. Yeah, we are strange. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Because he's completed all the work, we receive, we reap the benefits. We live in an awesome day and age. We live post death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. And because of that, we are made king priests to God. What does it mean to be a priest? First of all, I want to let you understand this. Jesus' priesthood is greater than the Levitical priesthood. Read the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, it says that they had to all, every day, every year, go make sacrifice for the sins of the people and for their own sins. But this high priest, Jesus, entered once into the holy place and once and for all offered the sacrifice for sins. So Jesus' priesthood is greater than the Levitical priesthood. His priesthood is his own. So when we are made priests to God, we are able now to offer sacrifices to him. Not blood sacrifices. He offered the blood sacrifice. And in Hebrews 13, it gives us the two sacrifices we get to make to him. This is awesome. Turn there. Hebrews 13. Here are the two sacrifices we get to make to him. Okay? The first sacrifice, Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You and I can offer to him sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And that should be part of our everyday life. Just like every day they had to offer sacrifice for their sins, we get to offer sacrifice of praise. Because our sin has already been taken care of. The great high priest has once and for all made a peace offering for us. So what's the other sacrifice we can do? So praise and thanksgiving is one. The second is found in verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Do good. Isn't that so stinking simple? It's like, right? Do good. Let me tell you what happened before. They were worried about their sacrifices. They were worried about their living. They were so caught up in all the external things, all the law. And Jesus came and he didn't abolish the law. He fulfilled it. And he says, you know what? Let me summarize the whole law for you. Love God. Love each other. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what do? Do good. Hebrews 13, 16 tells us that this is the sacrifice that we can offer to God. Do good. Every time you do good, it is a sacrifice you make to God. And every time you don't do good, you're missing out on the opportunity. Anybody here ever play checkers? Any checkers players? Okay. So when you're playing checkers and you get one of your pieces gets all the way across to the other end of the board, what do you say? King me, right? And now when your piece becomes a king, it can move in multiple directions, right? It can go forward, backward, sideways. No, it can't do that, can it? I don't know. It can do twice as much at least as it could do before. God has made you a king. I've played checkers a few times. If you get a kinged piece and you just have it sit in that back row and it just made it all the way and you never use it, it's good for nothing, right? You're wasting it on the board. Because a kinged piece becomes your most powerful piece. Here's the news for you today. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been made a king. You have had a game changer experience in your life. Now, don't be a king that sits there and just takes up space on the board. Do good. Ravi Zacharias tells a story. It's a true story. It comes from a New Zealand shepherd. It was a Christmas morning, and he was really happy in the morning, really sad in the afternoon, and really happy at night. And what made his mood swing? Well, in the morning, two sheep gave birth to some lambs. We'll call them Lamb A, big A, gave birth to little A, and Lamb B gave birth to little B. And he was happy. And they were, the little lambs were, they were feeding from their moms. But then in the afternoon, something happened. Little A sheep died. Big B mommy died. And little Lamb B wanted to feed from Big Mama A. And Big Mama A rejected little B because the scent was not correct. It wasn't her lamb. By the evening, the shepherd had figured out how to remedy the problem, and little Lamb B was able to eat from Mama A. And the way he was able to do that, he took the skin from little Lamb A and put it on top of little Lamb B. And that's when Mama A finally accepted, because she smelled her own child. God makes us kings and priests by putting his righteousness on us. That's what makes us acceptable to God. That's what allows us to live in righteousness, to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise, and to do good. It's because he clothes us, literally, in the righteousness of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for what you do for us. This message this morning, it is a challenge. We want to offer sacrifices to you. And Lord, it's something that's so free and easy to lift up our voices and with our lips to offer sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. Because, Lord, you are worthy of all the sacrifices we give. But also, Lord, we can be kings unto righteousness. And we can offer the sacrifices of doing good. So, God, I pray that today we would be encouraged in our walk with you, understanding what you have done for us through the sacrifice of Jesus. And, Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, they've never received this awesome gift that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin. He was buried. He was completely dead. And he came back to life to give victory over our sin. And Lord, I pray if anyone here has never trusted in what you have done for them, I pray that right now they would cry out to you, Lord Jesus, and say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking my sin in your own body on the tree so that me, being a sinful person, could become righteous in you. And Lord, if any will trust in the Lord Jesus right now, you will put your righteousness on them. And you will take them and make them a peculiar person who is part of this holy nation that is of royal priests. Lord, as we close out this service, I just thank you for what you have done. And as we sing about your sacrifice, Lord, I pray that our lips would just lift up these sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be standing here at the front. I'd love to talk to you about that. I'd love to take you through. It's not anything that's difficult because it's just receiving the gift of Jesus. And if you have trusted Christ, then I want to encourage you to use this time to offer a sacrifice of praise to your God. Let's sing together, Jesus Paid It All.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Say much more than thank you. You are so great. You are so merciful. And we know that in the midst of all that goes on in this world and the chaos, the hatred, the way that seems that mankind just turns their back on you, and someday there will be judgment. But Lord, we thank you that today we're able to think about the peace that you are the King of Peace, and you have made peace with us, who were sometimes aliens, we were strangers, and we were enemies of yours. And without even knowing it, we were lost. But you, Lord Jesus, you came to bring peace between us and yourself. So now unto the Lamb be glory and honor and power and dominion, both now and forever, we pray. And all God's children said, amen. The Lord bless you. Do good for him.